Succession number 23787, Reel 10.
Major Dillon, Reel 10.
Yes.
We're talking about your time with the 4th Battalion, Royal Norfolk Regiment, at Patras Barracks, Greece.
Yes, yes.
So what was happening there? What were your basic duties providing a sort of...
We're maintaining law and order in the town of Patras and patrolling the outlying districts, because the revolution, which had been put down in Athens, there were still roving bands of dissidents about. And it was our presence that maintained law and order. And to me, of course, it was a wonderful experience. I thoroughly enjoyed it, being able to speak Greek and being able to get around.
Did you see many of your old comrades?
Yes, quite a number who were pleased to see me back in a different disguise. But they weren't surprised, and the Greek is never surprised. It doesn't appear to be.
There was no particular fighting? Or
no, there were odd incidents, but there was no...
What kind of incidents?
There was a Gurkha battalion in the brigade. There was a Gurkha battalion as well, and they had a chap killed in an ambush, and I had to go and intervene. The Gurkhas were very angry, they don't like that sort of thing, and they'd taken off up the hill where they thought this shot had come from, and standing in front of them was the manager of the wine company up there, who said, "I've survived the Germans, because it's an Austrian company and I can speak German. I survived the communists because we paid their money. I'm still alive," but he said these bloody men with their knives out came screaming up the hill, and I was standing there and I thought my time had come. But fortunately one of the British officers managed to catch up and stopped. He said, "I thought my head was coming off."
That was
about the only...
Was he the one who'd actually fired the shot? Or was he?
No, he was the manager of the Klaus Wein company.
And he just happened to be there.
Well, it was his property, and he saw these chaps storming up the hill, and he was standing in front of his property. That was actually the only bit of bloodshed. There were all sorts of rumours of bandits and bands, and we used to send patrols up the... Well, mostly for training, really.
Did you ever take a patrol up?
Yeah, well, I was commanding camp. We used to send patrols all over the place.
What would a typical patrol be like?
Would it be an officer and about a dozen men, I suppose, and he might be away for 36 hours, and he would be given a route out and back, and it was really showing the flag, that old-fashioned thing. In a remote village, there might be camped overnight some British soldiers. The idea being, brother, don't tangle with us. There's plenty more where we came from.
How would you say that that people were getting on with it, the relationship between the British and the Greeks?
Excellent. The political thing was between Greek and Greek. There was really no animosity from any Greek quarter towards the British. I remember at that time, my son was born, which was a happy event. And the Greek girls, you know, are very pretty. And I once took a bet in the mess. I said, "Which one of you buggers is going to be the first one to get married to a Greek girl? Because one of you will." And the last one of this was John Fort, who you may have heard of, regimental officer. They said, "He'll be the last on the list. All he thinks about is cricket, squash, swimming and drinking." He was the first. He married a girl. He still lives in Corfu. He became the consul in Corfu afterwards. He married this girl, and he always said to me, "I was Swiss. When I met her, she was blonde." I said, "John, how many blonde Greek girls have you met in your life?" Anyway, they're still happily married, and we see them when we go to Corfu. So it was a happy period. After my son was born, I asked for leave. I went home, and suddenly...
Miriam hadn't come with you then?
No, she didn't know, because it was not an accompanied... posting. When I got home, you know, there it was, end of leave. Suddenly the telephone rang. It was Peter Barclay, CO of the 1st Battalion. He said, "Oh," the way he used to recruit his officers, "Do you like shooting, old boy?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Well, I got a day shoot. Would you like to bring your gun out? We'll have a walk round." So I was walking around with him. We were shooting pheasants and things, and went back to lunch, and he said, "How are you fixed?" I said, "What do you mean? I'm going back to the 4th Battalion next week, and my leave's up." He said, "I shouldn't bother if I were you. They're being disbanded." would you like to come and join me? I said, are you sure? Well, he said, I wouldn't tell a lie, would I? And it was true. He said, there's no point going back there just to turn around and come home again. If you'd like to come to me, I'd like to have you. I know a bit about you because you came to France at the beginning and all that. I'll fix it. So I didn't go back to Fort Tarrant. I went. That's how I got back to the.
And would this be into 46?
To the first? Yes.
When would this, because you can work that out from the birth of your son. When would this be?
Oh God! It's this gap year of the fourth battalion. You know that I'd forgotten to slip in.
So it was, would that be that you'd be with 45 to 46?
Yes, that's right. It'd be 46. Well, I'm sure it's recorded whenever the.
We can look it up, yeah. So in 46 you went to Paderborn.
To Paderborn, Neuhaus, yeah. And then that all carries on.
So what happened next, if we, you know, you joined the, we go back to when you joined the 1st Battalion and then you're in Berlin.
Yeah.
How long did you stay in Berlin for?
Berlin, the next Greek episode happens. I mean, the civil war is now raging in Greece. There are two, people don't, the first thing that I talked about before, I call the revolution, when I was, you know, which we've discussed. That was put down, there was a period of so-called peace. Then about this time, the civil war reared up, which was a real civil war.
Now when would that be? Was that 47?
47. 47, 48, 50 went on to.
It, how did you come to be involved? Because you were a regimental officer.
I'm a regimental officer now in Berlin. One vaguely knew the civil war was going on. I don't say I'd forgotten about Greece, but it's nothing to do with me, is it? I always seem to be walking into the mess. The adjutant held up a signal that said, subject Greek-speaking officers, Major Dillon will proceed forthwith to Greece. This is in Berlin. And I said, what does forthwith mean? He said, as soon as you finish your lunch, oh boy. So I found myself quite quickly back in Greece again.
Now, what were you joining? Were you joining a union?
The British military mission, which supported the Greek army and advised and trained the Greek army.
Could you tell us a bit more about the how it worked?
I'm only hoping one day, if you really want to write a history, try and get the history of the British military mission to Greece, which performed an enormous task for the Greek.
Tell us a bit about it.
Well, if you can imagine, after the war, the Greek army had been smashed, destroyed. They had nothing. The British military mission was charged with reforming it. Tremendous challenge. Like calling people up, opening up barracks, training them, setting up regiments, setting up schools of infantry, setting up staff colleges, setting up schools of artillery, school of engineering, everything you can imagine. We had a tremendous mission. We had 400 or 500 officers. Hopefully, the Greek army would be set up, as it were, in an orderly fashion, but the communists decided to stage a civil war.
Now, what was the civil war about? Can you just give us an outline, as you saw it, background to the causes of the Greek civil war?
It was the Greek Communist Party resurgent. They had been defeated largely by the British Army in 45. They had taken to the hills and more or less kept their heads down. They now reckoned, because there was no, the British had no significant military presence in Greece anymore. The Greek army was very weak, almost non-existent. They said, oi, we've still got plenty of weapons here now, let's have a go. And they did. And they very nearly.
Were they still called ELAS?
No, they were just. There was this fellow called, I've forgotten his name now, who started. They were communists. Kappa Kappa Epsilon. Greek Communist Party, and they were supported by Tito and Albania. And if you can imagine, they had access to these. They could withdraw over the northern Greek frontier into communist countries, who supplied them with arms and ammunition and very serious threat. Supported, of course, then the Cold War, and supported by the Russians. they were the push for the Russians to get a warm port on the Mediterranean. I mean, they very bloody nearly succeeded.
What was the nature of the Civil War? How was it fought out? What was the sort of...
It was real serious fighting. The Greeks had deployed by the time I got there, they deployed 9 divisions in the field. That's a lot of soldiers. And there were formed bodies of call them partisans, what you like, fighting face to face with formed bodies of Greek soldiers. There was also a tremendous underground of communist sympathizers down into Athens and in the big towns. It was a very insidious civil war. And there's a book which describes it. You may have heard Eleni. Has that crossed your... The story of a Greek lady. And you know, these stories have been very well recorded. But our part, the British armies, and there was a naval mission and an RAF mission, was the propping up, reforming the Greek regular forces, which we did.
Where were you based?
The headquarters was in Athens, the military mission. But my immediate job, I wasn't in the headquarters. I mean, the war was serious at that time. And what was necessary was a British face as far forward as possible. They liked to get a British officer at least down to every Greek brigade up on the front. And when I arrived, I mean, this is how it happened. I was briefed by an intelligence officer the situation. How much Greek do you speak? I said, well, enough. I don't need an interpreter. Good, he said, because there aren't very many. There's a jeep down below. He's got some camp kit and gear. He's a good soldier. He knows where your brigade is. It's up on the Gramos Mountains, on the Albanian frontier. Best of luck, old boy. And the name of your brigadier is Nikolopoulos.
You were a liaison officer.
A liaison officer, really. We had no authority. We were a presence, a professional presence.
Which area of mountains? I didn't catch that.
It's the Gramos. Well, there's the northern frontier.
And Gramos is Gramos.
Gramos. Should I fetch a map down or no? Not bother. Not so good.
What was your opinion of the quality of this Greek brigade? You don't know its number, do you?
46. I do know. Funny enough, it's the same number as the partisan right-wing brigade the communists destroyed on Mount Giona. It was the same number. They were conscripts. Some regular officers. The brigade commander, Nikolopoulos, was a regular cavalry officer. Charming chap, very able. I was impressed by him. His gunner, his gunner officer, an outstanding officer. Greek artillery was outstanding. They were the best, I think. And I arrived. I got out of this jeep. I'd forgotten about the war, but you know what wars are like. And I walked through the gun lines. There were 2 batteries of 25 pounders firing rapid. And when you know, Christ almighty, they didn't do that for fun. And my kit was put on a mule, and the jeep driver fell out because he couldn't go any further, and the mule driver took me up. And there on the side of the hill was this brigade, rather worse for wear. They'd had a bit of a hammering, and I must say they made me very welcome. They were very, you know, very pleased. They said, more or less, we know who our friends are. Rather, as opposed to the Americans who lurked in the rear, they never came up to the front.
What was morale like within the unit? I mean, were they well trained and were the common?
Some were, but they'd had very short time. When you realise that the Greek army in 1946 didn't exist, they'd had a very short period to regroup and train, and they had to find instructors and. It was all pretty hand-to-mouth.
How were they armed? I mean,
they were armed basically British, at that time, British weapons, ordinary infantry weapons, Bren guns, rifles, and the artillery was all British, 25-pounders, of which they were expert. The Greeks are very good gunners. And in support, they had, I forget how many, several squadrons of rocket-firing Spitfires, which they were very adept at using.
So they were a reasonable unit.
Oh, yes. And the Greek soldier is a very tough character. He doesn't shift easily, if you know what I mean.
Now, what was your opinion of the military competence of the communist units that were immediately facing you?
Well, they achieved a lot by stealth. They were very cunning, for want of a better word. They had allies behind you and in the towns and in the... They were still fighting the traditional guerrilla warfare.
What sort of things were they doing?
Ambushing, taking hostages. One of the hideous things which is in that book, Eleni, the widow who was murdered. Pedomatima, I use the Greek word, it was the collection of children. They, in that northwestern area, up in the mountain area, they took all the children away behind the Iron Curtain and brought them up as communists. For instance, a couple of years ago in Athens, we met a woman in a cafe. She was looking for somewhere to sit. Miriam, who speaks Greek, said, "Please sit down. Who are you talking?" She was a university professor, and we got talking about Gramos, as we're talking about now. They said, "I know about Gramos. I was one of the Pedomasima. I was taken with my mother. I hadn't even been born then, with my sister at her heels." I said, where were you born? Behind the icon. "Yes, in Tashkent," she said. "That's as far as my mother was taken." And I got after the war, got back into Greece with my mother. She collected, the village was destroyed, there was nothing there. Mother had collected a little money. They sent me to university, and mother said, "Our hopes are on you." And she said, "I'm now a professor at Yanina University."
Now, how did they... I mean, they were using sort of guerrilla tactics. How were they countered? I mean, you said when you arrived, they were all firing at 25 pounders. What happened?
Well, at that stage, they were dug... We were getting... They had taken up further... Now and again, they made mistakes, like digging themselves in. So they were being stropped up with a view to the brigade advancing.
Now, what were you doing? What was your role? What did you actually do?
Well, I shouldn't say it. Probably bullshit. To be smartly dressed and supremely confident and offer any technical advice that I might be able to offer.
Could you?
Well, I suppose I knew the use of the medium, the Vickers machine gun, which they proved. I knew what a Bren gun could do, and I knew what a 25-pounder gun could do. But in fact, it was your presence was the most significant thing. The soldiers, "Yasu, good morning, sir." The Greek soldier would stand up, stand to attention as soon as he saw you. They realized that they weren't alone. That's really what... Our presence meant more than anything else.
And what was the mess like? You were in the officer's mess, I presume?
No, the Greeks didn't really have an officer's mess. You lived pretty rough. But this cavalry brigadier, he knew about the British Army. He said, "Well, more or less, old boy, I forget what it is in Greek now." He said, "What you need is a horse and a groom." He found it was a bit of an old screw, but it was a horse better than walking. He found this groom. He said, "They say he's a communist. We captured him last week. He's a shepherd boy. I know you where you were in the mountains during the war. He comes from the area where you used to be at. He probably knows you." He's only about 16. So I had a sort of Batman groom and a horse, and he made me very welcome.
Did you tend to use the horse rather than jeep, or?
There was no jeeps had finished. I mean, we were on foot or a horse. There was no. We were off the road. In those days, we were very quickly off the road in Greece. back on Shanks's pony.
So horse was much to be preferred.
Much to be preferred, yeah.
Was it a very mobile? I mean, were the 46th Brigade moving about a lot? Or
yes. Patrolling, clearing areas. And
what do you mean? How about clearing? How did they clear areas?
Well, there'd be a valley. You'd have a battalion up each side, and you'd go up and to clear it was free, and then perhaps tonight the commons would come back behind you. It was a continual kind of war of.
On balance, who would you say the civilians sympathise with most? I mean, or if
they sympathised for them with us, without a doubt, but they were frightened of the communists.
What makes you think that?
But I mean, you see, it's very very difficult as a Britisher to equate. Up until then, in Greece, there really wasn't a middle class. You tended to be very few, very rich merchants, and the peasants. And some of the peasants were quite well indoctrinated by the communists. Why should you have some of these riches? And that's how communism starts. So there was quite a lot of sympathy for the thought of communism at that time.
When you're trying to deal with guerrilla forces, it's often difficult not to fall into the habit of treating everybody as if they're a possible guerrilla. In other words, that you start to behave almost like an occupying force and sort of.
Well, this is a civil war. It's their own country. If you follow me, they're not in Bulgaria or Yugoslavia. They're Greeks in Greece. That's why a civil war, brother against brother, literally, is the most horrendous form of warfare. It's dreadful, family against family.
It really was split that
close. Yes, yes.
Now, what do you remember any of the things that happened to you during that period? You know, just events as opposed to these sort of themes. What do you remember of that?
I remember the end on the Gramos campaign. We put in a big push, the division, the 9th Division, of which 46th Brigade was part, and cleared the final objectives. And I remember standing right on the top, looking down into Albania, watching. It looked like thousands of men running. These were the communists running back into Albania, because at that time Tito had closed the Yugoslav border, so they had to, the only place they could go was Albania. And that was the end of it. And Mount Tsivri it was, which, well, call it Gramos, it was all the same range.
And you hadn't been involved in any actual fighting yourself. Your role was...
You used to attend. I mean, one got shot at occasionally in artillery. I didn't lead a bayonet charge or anything stupid like that. No, one was there. And I think the thing that impressed me most, after the battle was over, there was a divisional parade right on the top. It was bleak country. All the soldiers gathered round, and the general was there, issuing medals to the Greek soldiers. There was a band playing, and up to get his medal came a young man that I knew. He was the brother of my runner, Taki Stamatelos, who had been betrayed by the British renegade. Taki at that time was a boy. I knew him, or Seraphim, the chap, was a boy. And I said, Seraphim, yes, I am Seraphim, Kirio Brown. I never thought I'd see you up here. He said, where else would you see a Stamatelos except in the front line? Good sort of Greek. That impressed me very much.
Did you have any contacts with any of the communists? I mean, you had dealings with ELAS, who were yes. A lot of them were presumably in the communist side.
I think these were all a fresh lot. There was nobody up there that I knew at all.
So what happened next then? After the you sort of
after that, the fighting was over.
When was this roughly?
40. Where the hell are we?
You'd gone there in 47.
Well, it's towards the end of 40. Yes, towards the end of 47, I suppose. And then I went back to Athens. You know, my task there had finished, And a lovely period started. Which started first? This started first, I think. I became G2. You know what a G2 is?
Well, can you just explain? Who is it to?
Well, back to the mission headquarters, infantry branch.
So GSO2.
GSO2. There were three GSO2s, and I was GSO2, brackets training, brackets infantry, brackets training, with the best bracket of all was touring. And my task at that stage was visiting all our establishments all over Greece. And I had authority to use any means, like an aeroplane, a boat, or a train, or something. We had NCO schools and schools of infantry and officer training schools in Crete. And so I had a glorious time going around.
What was it like?
Marvellous. Because each of these places was a British officer, you see. So I would go and ask, oh boy, how are you getting on? Well, I could do with a bit more whiskey, or I could do with a bit of this or that. Or they say they're short of rifles, or the ammunition's not coming up, or whatever. So one was the touring bit. And then that finished, and I had a marvellous job. We were sent down to Kalamata, or I was sent down to Kalamata, to open up the infantry training centre. I'm not sure this didn't happen first. Anyway, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter much. And what were you actually the commandant? Or?
No, we were never in actual authority. It was a Greek commandant, and I was the advisor. Now, this must have been before the touring bit, because when I got there, the Greek commandant had just arrived. We went up to this barracks, which had not been used since the German occupation. And I say not used to the extent that there was no roof on the cookhouse. The shit house was still full of German shit. This was like Thursday afternoon. The first recruits were to come in on Monday, and I said, "What are you going to do, sir?" "I shall declare martial law," he said. "I shall get all the builders and all the carpenters. By next week, this barracks will be brand new." And it was. And I said, "Well, how are these soldiers going to be called up?" Because there's no post didn't work. There's no radio, or very little. "Oh," he said, "that's easy. They sent a Dakota over with leaflets. It said, all able-bodied men between 18 and 21 will report." And they did. I'd never seen anything like sitting at this long table. There was the commandant, myself, the papas, the priest, of course, had to be there, and the medical officer. And through the barricades came this column of young men, some with no boots, some with no shirts, all half-starved, long hair. I mean, they'd been starving. And past the medical officer, two arms, two eyes, two legs, you're in. And then the papas would give them a sort of blessing. Over there, the sergeant major, under the clippers, hair off, under the shower off, down to quartermaster store, a shirt, suit of clothes, down to cookhouse, a square meal. First square meal they probably had for a year. And they were in the army. And we started training.
And how did they respond to the training?
They're using
British methods, I presume.
British manuals and everything are translated into Greek. They lapped it up. Because they were so happy in that they were being well fed, well housed, and reasonably harsh discipline, but looked after. Their morale was very high. And it was one of the most rewarding episodes, I think, that particular one. Starting an army from nothing. Literally, how do you start an army? You clear the German shit out of the shit house for a start. Anyway, it was... Sorry.